Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thy will be done. Does anybody want the will of God for their lives? Amen. Thy will be done in me. We've seen God heal others, deliver others. So we must believe that He'll do the same for us as we appeal to Him. Thy will be done in me. And then they started out with, "Great is thou faithfulness." You can look all over, but you can't find nobody that is as faithful as our God. So great is His faithfulness. I don't know about you, but great is His faithfulness to me. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I don't know about you this morning, but I can tell you there is nobody greater than my God. Hallelujah. Thou will be done, God, in my life and in our church and the members of our church. Hallelujah, God. Do not retire that song. Do not retire that song. Because Jesus told the Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And because He followed the Father, we are delivered, we are forgiven, and we're saved. So don't y'all retire that song. Thy will be done in our church. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. God, great is thou faithfulness. Heavenly Father, we come once again on a Sunday morning, God, to just give you all the glory and to give you all the honor because you are faithful to us. God, we come again and say thank you, Lord, for the journey and thank you, Lord Jesus, just for another day. A day that we have never seen before, God, and we stand with thanksgiving in our spirits saying hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us when we were not lovable. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us when we were in the middle of our sin and our mess, Lord God. God, we thank you for that. And God, we thank you for Jesus. And God, we thank you that you forgive us of our stuff. We keep messing up, God, but you keep forgiving us, God. So we thank you for being a forgiving God. Now, God, we just pray that your will be done in this sanctuary today. That you would meet the needs of your people. That you would comfort, God. That you would restore, Lord God. That you would build up. That you would empower, encourage your people in the name of Jesus. God, we have gathered to hear a word from you, Lord God, and meet the needs of the people right where they are. In the name of Jesus. Father God, we now pray for the sick and shut in, and we lift up Sister Phyllis, Lord God, and even we lift up the situation over at Reed Temple, Lord God, that thou will be done in your church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God, now have your way. If there be anything in me that would keep me from communing with you this morning, I ask in the name of Jesus that you take it away right now. God, if you give it to me, Lord, to speak to your people, I will stand here boldly and I will declare what thus says the Lord this day. So Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Let your power, your anointing, your glory, your presence be felt throughout this entire building. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. As you all center yourselves and take your seats, I ask out of reverence for God that you all turn off your cell phones. discontinue your texting for about 20 minutes and let's get on one accord and see what God has for us this morning. So as we go to his word, we're going to go to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of St. John. I believe God has just a basic message for us, and I pray that we all will open our spiritual ears and hearts and hear what God has for the church this morning. So when you get to the Gospel of John, I ask that you go to chapter 10 and stand all over the sanctuary. I pray you won't be standing long, but just stand all over the sanctuary as reverence to God, because he's God and he's God all by himself. So please go to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. We're going to a familiar passage in our scripture, but God can take the familiar and make it so very new for his people. Take the familiar and make it new. There is so much richness in this 10th chapter. And this morning, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And in my Bible this morning, it is in red. And I've been told when you see red in the Bible, Jesus is speaking to his people. So it reads this way, starting with verse 10. John 10:10. The scripture God gave me when we opened this church some 4.5 years ago. And this morning, it reads from this version of the Bible this way. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You may be seated. Written in this gospel, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, but I've come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Amen. Often I tell you that people do not remember sermons. So I pray that I can always, that God would give me a title that will stick with you during the week that may be helpful as you're on this journey called life. Because so much happens from Sunday to Sunday, and so much happens just in this life. So God is saying to us this morning, remember that the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So God is saying to us this morning, it is so. It is so. This scripture is so. Abundant life, we are going through a process now where we are equipping the saints of God for service. And his chosen people we have declared. And God is saying to us this morning, in order for you to go out and service others, you must believe that my word is true. My word can be trusted, that there is power in this word, that my word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, and it is so. So wherever you go, you must declare this word, and you must declare that it is so. You must stand boldly before people that do not believe and people that are wavering in their faith, and you must stand flat-footed and say, it is so. See, God says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. It shall prosper in the things which I sent it. So if God said it, it is so. And I have a word for someone. God gives me this each Sunday morning. Hallelujah. God is saying to someone this morning, hold on to my word. Believe it. Put it into practice. Forget about the haters. Forget about the naysayers. You just trust me. Do not throw away your confidence in me. I've heard your cry and I've heard your plea. I haven't answered the way you think I will, but I will answer you. And you will live an abundant life. You will be my witness, and it is so. I don't know who that's for, but don't throw away your confidence in God. God has given you his word to hold on to. You practice that word. You read that word. You live that word out. And whatever you're praying for, God is saying, it is so. Hallelujah, God. If God said it, church, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. You must believe this. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. So if you believe this word this morning, let the church say amen. See, everybody can't get with me on this, but there are some real believers in here, and they got some stuff going on in their lives that they need God to shift in the name of Jesus. And God said, I will shift it. And it is so. It is so. The children will remember that. So when people try to discourage you, you stand on this word and you say, babies, it is so. If someone tells you something in school that you can't do, you tell them, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And it is so. Do not let anybody discourage you from whatever your visions, your dreams are. You hold on to God's unchanging hands and you say, it is so. Hallelujah, God. Help me get back to John. Hallelujah, God. It is so. What John wrote to the church, it is so. When the Apostle Paul, Apostle John, Paul is in my spirit, but the Apostle John wrote our morning text, I just believe that he was inspired by God to tell us what Jesus said. Remember, see, Jesus and John, they were buddies, and they walked and they talked together. See, when Jesus was on that cross, John was the only disciple at the foot of the cross. As our Savior died. The Bible tells us that the other disciples were afraid. They were scattered and they were locked behind closed doors. You may know the story. They were in fear of their lives. But John was at the foot of the cross when our Savior bled and died. See, John is like many of us. He decided he was going to follow Jesus. So he followed him all the way to the cross. There was no turning back for John. He had decided the world behind me and the cross before me. And he stood there and he looked up at his friend. See, the Bible tells us that they were so close that as Jesus was on that cross bleeding and dying, he looked down at John and said, John, take care of my mama. See, they had this close, intimate relationship. So I just believe that we can believe this word that John has written to the church. John wrote to tell us that what Jesus had for the followers, for us, for the people that will come behind him. And John said, beware of the thief. That's what Jesus had said. Because the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But if you trust me and you hold on to my word, remember, I've come that you may have life. And that you may have it more abundantly. And it is so. Do you believe this word, people of God? Because the world got so much for us. So we need something to hold on to beyond ourselves. Our friends can't help us because usually they got more drama than we have. I know I'm right about that. So let's just go back to our morning text and John, see what John has for us. So we're going to open our ears and we're going to hear what thus says the Lord. See, this chapter 10 opens with telling us, read your Bible, y'all, that Jesus is the good shepherd. And oftentimes Jesus taught us with parables, just those simple, ordinary stories with spiritual meaning. He is our good shepherd. He's the shepherd that takes care of his flock. And during this period, it said at night the sheep were gathered into a sheep pen to be protected from the thieves, from the weather, and from the wild animals. And the sheep were in this cave, sheds, and open areas with stones around. And the shepherd, they tell us, would sleep at the door of the pen. See, just as that shepherd was caring for the sheep, Jesus, the good shepherd, will take care of us if we believe him, trust him, and put our faith in him. The prophet Isaiah prophesied about the Savior and the Messiah. He said, the shepherd is coming. And then David, King David, said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, we need a shepherd, you all. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You all know it. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Do you need restoration this morning? He leads me through the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We're talking about the good shepherd, y'all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the good shepherd is with me. His rod and his staff, the Bible tells us, will comfort us. The good shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy, come on, you all, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anybody know anything about the good shepherd? See, this word is true. And Jesus is saying, it is so, people. You don't have to live these jacked up and raggedy lives. Because Jesus has come that you may be forgiven of your sin. That you can live in power. You can walk in authority. Because then you're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it is so. Hallelujah, Lord God. In our morning text, John is warning us about this thief. This thief symbolized sometimes false messiahs back then. Corrupt religious leaders. People with evil intentions. They cared only about feeding themselves and making money off the flock. But Jesus pictures them as individuals who began to not only take all you have. If they don't get that, then they begin to kill it. And if they can't kill it, they just want to destroy it. Your dreams, your hopes. So who is the thief? Come on, you all. So as we apply this word to our lives this day, do you all know any thieves? Think about what is the purpose of a thief, really? The thief is coming in, take something valuable from the owner. So Jesus is warning us about the thief. Stealing your valuable dreams. Stealing your families. Stealing your communities. The thief. The thief comes to steal the souls of God's people. The thief. So John is writing to warn us, be careful of the thief, of Satan's plans, causing us to enter through the wrong gate, causing us to follow lustful behavior. Help me, Holy Spirit. Helping us and causing us to be just following pornography. Hallelujah, God. God, do I say this? Hallelujah, Lord God. Causing us to do all kinds of stuff that we know we shouldn't. The thief steals your dream. The thief. The thief offers you all this stuff that looks good, smells good, tastes good, but no good for you. And Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundant. Don't you follow that thief. The thief comes to steal our family values, to take away your God-given purpose. Come on, I've said it. To cause confusion in your family, in your church, in your lives. The Bible says, do not be conformed to the thief, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind with this word of God. Hallelujah. Renew your mind with this word, because there's power in the word of Jesus. There's power in this word, people of God. Renew your mind. Then you will be able to know what the will of God is for your life. And you can walk and say, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Then you can say, thy will be done in my life, Lord Jesus. And in my family. We have to get rid of and cancel out this thief. The thief has no authority in your lives. But people of God, we must commit to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We must open our Bibles that have everything that we need, all the power that we need. Because the thief wants you back. Even as believers, I've heard a song say, I want you back. I don't know who sung it. You be walking with Jesus, got filled with the Holy Spirit, but the thief wants you back. He'll send someone that's looking mighty good to you. Send something that will just tempt you. It could be a he or a she. Could be money or stuff, but something to just bring you back. But Jesus said, no, I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Don't you follow that thief. If you get weak, you call another brother or sister in Christ. Say, help me, Lord Jesus. Because the thief wants to cancel out God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord God, finish this so we can go on home. See, the good news is Jesus, hallelujah, came to give life despite the thief. I don't know what your thief is, but you know what is pulling you away from God. Come on, y'all. Pulling you away from God. Tempting you. Come on, I know somebody know what I'm talking about. Come on, everybody is not just faking me up in here. Come on, you all. There's something that's just pulling you. But this day, we are just going to declare God's word over our lives. We're just going to say, this day, God, help me to focus on your will like Jesus did. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus. And because Jesus said yes to God, we're saved. We're set free. We are delivered. We're forgiven. And that's all good news. And it is so. Hallelujah. The Bible says, but God proved his love for us. That while we were still sinners, this is Communion Sunday for us, Christ died for us. And it is so. The Bible says he himself bore our sins in his body on that cross. So that from sin we might be set free. And by his stripes we are healed. And it is so. So whatever is going on with you this morning, God is already taking care of it by Jesus coming. But I want you to be clear this morning before I close. See, abundant life does not mean that you have all the stuff you want. That you will not have any trials or tribulations. Because remember, Jesus said, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. He's overcome all that stuff. So do not be discouraged when you're going through stuff. Because as believers, we believe God's word. And he said he'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll be right there in the middle with you. Drying your tears. Comforting your pain. Oh, yes, he will. The word said, be anxious for nothing when stuff comes. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your heart, let your request be made known to God. And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious for nothing. Because God's word is true. People of God, he's saying to us this morning, we must endure our personal trials, but we're never alone. Wait on the promise. Trust my word. Be a light to the world. See, unbelievers are watching Christians to see how you act when you go through. Do y'all really believe what you say? Look at what God is doing to you. Hallelujah. But the word declares the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. The Lord will fight our battles for us, just like he did for the Israelites that went through the Red Sea. Whatever you're going through, believe that God is with you. See, those who are authentic Christians, they will persevere. They will not fall away from their God. They will stand on his promises. Help me, Holy Spirit, wind this up. Church, take this word with you this morning. And for the days ahead, as you follow and you come into challenges and trials, remember, if God said it, it is so. If God said you are healed, it is so. If God said you are forgiven, it is so. If God said you're delivered from your sin, your addiction, your broken heart, your depression, your loneliness, your finances, challenges, it is so. It may not come when you want it, but it'll always be in God's time. If God said that you're more than a conqueror, it is so. If God says, fear not, I'm your God, I'm going to help you all. It is so. If God said he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, it is so. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and it is so. Help me, Lord God. God's word says, I did not give you the spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And it is so. So often Christians struggle with fear. Public enemy number one, I heard, for Christians. But you don't have to be fearful. Because God did not give that to you. And it is so. So do not allow anyone to make you or cause you to doubt this word. Because it is so. Let the church say amen. One last thing, abundant life. If God says we're moving to our new church home, it is so. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. If God said it, it settles it. And it is so. Hallelujah, Lord God. I've come that my people may have life and have it more abundantly. And it is so. Whatever comes your way this week, whatever the naysayers, the haters say to you, you pull out a promise from God in His Word and say, this is what God says about my situation. And it is so. Please stand all over the sanctuary. On this Communion Sunday, and this Sunday that we're celebrating birthdays, great day. If you haven't connected with Jesus and connected and said, Jesus, I need you to be my Lord and Savior. See, I've tried it this way. I've tried it that way. I've talked to friends that don't know what they're talking about, and it doesn't work. And I need a Savior. So I invite you, if you're not saved,